the network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
AV Social is brought to you by our fine group of underwriters, companies like Crestron. This is AV Social, episode 16, Color of the Year, recorded December 14th, 2015.
I'm here today with my companion, my faithful co-host, Kelly Perkins. Say hi,
hello.
Everyone, Kelly.
Hello, AV World.
And we're joined this month for the December edition of AV Social by Rachel Holifield. I hope I said that correctly.
You got it right on the money. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. Rachel is, what is your exact title? You're a graphic designer?
You got it. I am the graphic designer for Vadio, their in-house person.
Awesome. And the reason that we have a graphic designer with us today is we're going to be talking a little bit about design and color choices for your marketing. Part of this spawns from recent news. It is December of 2015, and every December, Pantone, the color people, come out with their Color of the Year. And let's see if I can get this screenshot up here. The 2016 Color of the Year. Whoops, it went away. Sorry. The 2016 Color of the Year was announced this week. And for the first time in Pantone history, they chose not one, but two colors for the Color of the Year. As you can see on the screen, I hope, Rose Quartz and Serenity are this year's Color of the Year for 2016. So if you are one of the AV women, you will probably see a lot of pink and light blue makeup this year. If you're shopping for clothes, you will probably see a lot of pink and light blue clothes. It looks like 2016 is going to be the year of cotton candy or perhaps a lot of baby showers. So let's go to start off with Rachel, since you're our resident graphic designer. The whole idea behind these Pantone Colors of the Year is they sort of select the color that they think is going to be just on trend for the coming year.
Correct.
Tell me, as a graphic designer, what do you do with that?
Well, it's a little bit more difficult for me since I work for Vadio, so a lot of my stuff has to be branded as the Vadio colors. However, that's something I can use in like a background color for advertisements or to try to make sure my design and color scheme is a little bit more on point. It gives me at least a direction that I can go. And I am wearing the Serenity color today, if we want to point that out. I use it as a tool, not necessarily something that I will use consistently, but it's nice to know what to look for.
That's very true. And we are in a technology industry, so colors like pink and baby blue.
Not
ideal.
I don't
see a whole lot of that coming out at Crestron or Extron. They're not going to come out with their new Rose Quartz and Serenity faceplates or anything like that.
No, I don't think I would be allowed to go too far with either of those colors in a mass ad or trade show graphics. I think I would get laughed at, to be honest.
Very true. Kelly, do you have any experience working with Pantone Colors of the Year in your own marketing life?
You know, I keep an eye on it, I guess you can say, mainly because I love all the crazy names that they come up with, like Marsala and Tangerine Tango, or Tango Tangerine, I can't remember. Do I use them on a daily basis? Not really entirely. I used to more so when looking at coming up with like different colors of products and stuff of that nature, but not necessarily design. I think it's going to be an interesting 2016 if our colors are basically pastel grandma bathroom colors, because it was tough to even find a rose quartz shirt, of which I'm wearing, and I literally had to dig through like my gym bag to find one. I don't own a lot of pink, so it's going to be interesting to see kind of where it goes and, you know, just to see how it's implemented. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but do you picture a lot of perhaps vehicles, you know, showing up in a combination of rose quartz and serenity?
I hope not.
Maybe some of those Mary Kay cars.
Oh, there you go.
We might see some rose quartz Mary Kay cars there. But mm-hmm. Here's another screenshot from the Pantone site, if I can get it to share properly here. This is what Kelly is talking about when she says sort of grandma bathroom colors, because as you can see, all of these color strips or combinations incorporate rose quartz and serenity. They give them to you as ideas of how to use them in your websites and your marketing. And yeah, for the most part, I'm thinking mom's bathroom, grandma's bathroom, maybe someone's kitchen, perhaps.
Well, maybe it's that whole idea of, you know, things cycle. So, like, it was really popular, you know, back in, like, the 1930s, 1940s, and now it's just kind of coming back around.
I would agree with that. I also think they like to get in touch with, like, Earth, and you can see that with the names, the Serenity and the Rose Quartz, and involving more earthy tones to some of those palettes. So going back to nature, and I've seen that in previous years as well.
That's true. One of the things that Pantone does say, and I'll read it directly from their site here, they're saying, join together rose quartz and serenity, demonstrate an inherent balance between warmer, embracing rose tones and cooler, tranquil blues, reflecting connection and wellness, as well as a soothing sense of order and peace. That sounds lovely.
It does.
It does. I think I just went on like a 20-second vacation.
Exactly. You know, I'm not sure how this will play in the marketing space, at least especially not in our marketing space. Now, jumping back, last year, Kelly mentioned the color name Marsala. Last year's color was kind of a brick red. And
correct.
I've found that the way to implement these colors, particularly because as marketers, we're asked to stick with our corporate branding. As Rachel said, we have to, you know, my personal company colors are red, black, and grays, and whites. And so we're not going to come out with a pink and baby blue marketing thing. But, you know, in other years, we may have used like Marsala as a header on a piece of handout or leave behind information for a customer. I personally find the Tangerine Tango from 2012 kind of awful and wouldn't have used it in anything, but some people would use that or the jade color from a couple years ago as just sort of a little highlight, like if you're putting a special box on your website or you're creating a new handout for a trade show, you might use it just as sort of an emphasis color. What do you guys think? I mean, maybe not these colors for this year, but do you think that's sort of the use case as an AV person for the Pantone colors, Rachel?
I think that's a really good way to go about using them. I think Kelly had also mentioned using them as product-specific pieces, and I actually do try to... We have different groupings of products, and I try to use some sort of a color code system, so that is a good way to implement the trendy colors and at least show that you are paying attention to not just your own industry, but the Pantone world, which is kind of a bigger umbrella for all colors. So yeah, I think that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah. Kelly, what do you think on that?
I just keep thinking about how there was a group of like 8 of us that for Halloween all dressed as clones in Marsala pants because we all have Marsala colored pants and wear them all the time. So I don't know if it's necessarily marketing, but I definitely think the Pantone colors do influence clothing and fashion for sure.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is perhaps when we get to CES or even Infocom, we'll be seeing a lot of trade show booth outfits that might feature some of these colors.
Yep.
the pinks and the blues.
Absolutely. Could you imagine everybody at Infocom showing up in rose quartz and serenity? How cool would that be? And here.
That would
interesting,
be
maybe.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I personally, the one thing, like I was trying to rack my brain for tech or our industry specific uses for these colors, and the only thing I could think of, anybody that's out there from Comprehensive or maybe Kramer, I think, makes them as well. You guys that are making the colorful cables, you have the cool brightly different colored, you know, HDMI cables and so forth for our installers to sort of differentiate. There's your cue. Rose Quartz and Serenity should be the next colors on your palette. I just want to see all of the installers out there reeling out a roll of rose quartz cable to put in the wall or in a rack somewhere, and you know, real men install in pink.
Put absolutely. Yes, it is a very manly pairing of colors for 2016.
Yeah.
So jumping off from that, you know, Pantone, they make this announcement every December. Sometimes it's a fantastic group of colors for people in our industry. Marsala was actually kind of useful. Sometimes it's cotton candy, like this coming year. Sometimes it's that awful tangerine tango that, if I can just zoom in on Kelly here for a second, that painting behind her, this orange color, is a milder version of the tangerine tango that was kind of, it was really out there when that color came out a couple years ago.
It is a nice compliment with blues, though, the tangerine tango.
True. So they make these announcements every December, and we just figured it would be a fun way to jump off and talk about color and design choices. I know design choices aren't always something that in our industry we think of. I mean, let's face it, most of our products are gray or black boxes that live in a gray or black rack, living in a closet somewhere with some gray or black cables coming out of them. We're not known for being the most stylish of industries, other than occasionally our branding. And so it's not, marketing's an afterthought a lot of times in AV, and color and design choice specifically, I don't know about you ladies, but I can't tell you how often I've heard my boss say, I don't care, just make it ready to go. Just give it to the customer.
Make it pretty.
Right.
Yeah. So starting there, like, what would you say is your best tips for color choice or design choice that as AV professionals we need to think about or be aware of? Let's start with Rachel.
So I think a lot of times it's, you know, kind of some design principles. It's just, you know, using your white space, keeping it simple, really allowing the product or the message to be the forefront so you can really see what it is that you're trying to get across to your general audience. Of course, sticking with your branding, and sometimes it's not as easy to design something and have to go back and forth, because I will say that working with a lot of males, it's not always pretty, but I think there's usually a great happy medium once you get to the final product or final design, because you have a little bit, for me, the feminine side of things, and then having to work with a team of gentlemen and being able to come into what works across the board, which is, I think, wonderful, because your target audience isn't just going to be men, and it's not, you know, so I would definitely say keeping it simple is always a good way to start things out.
And that's definitely a tip that I know some folks in our industry have a hard time with, especially if you're working for a smaller mom-and-pop integrator or you don't have any kind of budget, and they're like, okay, we have money to print one sheet of paper, so make it say and show everything.
Right.
And get a mask. So,
yeah.
Really good advice. Go ahead,
keep
Rachel.
It simple and keep it, you know, don't add paragraphs and paragraphs of copy because nobody's going to read it. Keeping it simple, keeping it concise, and making that message very easy to understand is a great tip.
Yeah. And I'm guilty. I was an English major, so I write a lot, and then I have to edit myself, and then cut it down, and then edit. So, good, very good advice there. Rachel, you look like you want to say something. Jump on in.
Oh, I mean, another tip that I would, you know, consider bringing up is text specifically when just trying to keep that on the simple side, too. I mean, a lot of people try to work with different text typefaces, and narrowing that down to just one or two instead of trying to get too crazy, too creative. I've seen that a lot of places, and I think it gets a little bit messy. And so just keeping that simple, I mean, that's kind of across the board with design as the simple factor. But that's one that I see a lot more often where it's like kind of cringeworthy when you're looking at something and you're like, oh man, what are they doing? So I don't know if you have seen that before.
That definitely has been seen before right here. and it's something that comes back and forth because when I mean, here I'm going to show my age next to you two kids, but when I first started in the industry like 20 years ago, one of my first assignments was to redo a marketing booklet that this company had put together, and every single page had different fonts on it, and every single page had multiple different fonts on the page. So no two pages had the same fonts, and everyone had several different fonts. It was painful to look at, honestly. And we, you know, we tidied that up, and then I've seen things swing away from that so that everything was, you know, Times New Roman and Arial. Mm-hmm. And now that we've got these wonderful web fonts and these wonderful designers out there creating new fonts, yeah, it's coming back. So bosses, if you're listening or looking, watching this, pay attention, please. Back on the fonts there. Now, that's not to say don't pick some signature fonts and use, like, two throughout all of your messaging, but, yeah, great point about keeping it simple. Kelly, do you have anything to add on that? You have a favorite font, something like that?
I have a couple. I was just going to add to that, too, that there are so many free fonts out there, too, that you can find that are really, really cool. And like you said, Dawn, you can, you know, they've come out with so many more of the last couple years. If you just Google, you know, free font download, you have to be a little bit careful because some of them are copyrighted, but there's a lot of them that aren't. So you can use them in your company collateral. You can use them in advertising. You can use them in your web content. So just know that there are a lot of free fonts beyond just Arial and Helvetica and Myriad Pro. So
very true.
Never, ever, ever use Comic Sans.
Ever. Never.
Ever. All right, those are some great tips. Going back, I know color choice is a lot of times indicated by our branding, but there's like a whole psychology of color out there, ranging from, you know, colors to make you hungry that a lot of restaurants use, colors to make you want to spend money or trust that a company is more established, that are, you know, responsible colors and financial colors and things like that. Do either of you have any kind of insight on that that you could give to our listeners and our viewers?
I don't have a ton of knowledge in the color psychology department, but I do feel like grays and dark grays are a great way to go for a professional look, to keep it clean, and gray pairs really well with almost any other color. So I'd say that's a good starting point if you're just looking to pick a few colors, implement gray. I mean, it's a great choice when you have a bunch of copy. It looks great as a header. So that's my thought, at least on the intro to color psychology.
And I know, Rachel, we had talked briefly about that there are some software programs out there that will help you choose specific colors or a specific color palette based on maybe what exactly you're trying to do with the colors. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So Adobe is the main software programs that I use, and they have apps for your phone to correspond with all of your other computer-based software as well. Something called Adobe Capture is something you can download on your phone and take a picture. Let's say it's a picture of a sunset, and you're like, you know what, I really want to get that orangey tangerine tango and implement that into my design. So you can take this photo and using, you know, just kind of pointing on the screen where that color is, so you can have it select what it is, and it'll tell you, I think, either the CMYKs, the RGBs, they might even be able to give you the Pantone specific color for that. But in that, it'll also give you a palette of colors that either go with it or contrast it. Depending on what you're looking for, it'll give you options for complementary colors if that's what you're looking for. And then if you have the Adobe Creative Cloud, you can have that automatically sent to your cloud, and you can access it then from your computer or your iPad, really anywhere it's on the cloud, right? So that's one. And then there's tons of other apps that are very similar to that that allow you to do the same thing, but I'm a firm believer in Adobe because that's what I use, so they all sync together nicely. Kelly, have you come across any other apps that you think are really cool that get into the color?
I haven't. I'll be honest, I haven't used it since it was called Cooler. I think it was a while ago. But it is, it's an awesome software. You can just hop on via your web browser and check it out. It'll give you tons of different ideas for color palettes that work together. I think it's about 6 different colors that go together. And there's hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of different ones. So if you're looking to get inspired and just want to create kind of, start with something already, it's Adobe Capture.
Adobe Capture, yeah.
Adobe Capture is there, so for sure check it out.
And that's a great point about picking palettes that all work together. Earlier I showed the screenshot from Pantone that showed Rose Quartz and Serenity with a bunch of other friends. Mm-hmm. Each row was a palette that you can implement. And, you know, it doesn't have to be redesigning your website, redoing your corporate branding. It could be as simple as you have a specific meeting and you want your PowerPoint to look unique for that meeting or fresh for that meeting. You know, you go into Power, I know of death by PowerPoint, but you go into PowerPoint and they have those automatic color palettes that you choose from. There's nothing that says you can't create your own. In fact, I regularly create my own palettes for different presentations, be it the customer's colors, our corporate colors. We have our own custom palette. Use something like the Adobe Capture or the Pantone recommended color palettes and set up your own customized PowerPoint. And you're guaranteed that it won't be, you know, Steve the sales guy or Joe the sales guy coming up with just god-awful combinations because he just clicked the next thing on the list or what he felt like. It'll all be cohesive and kind of have that harmony that you want out of them. It sounds dumb, just like what color your letter is, you know, versus the actual content, but little things like that make a difference in a customer's buying or a customer's perception of your company and your product.
I was just working on a branding project, and one of the stats I found that I thought was kind of hard to believe, but at the same time not, was that 80% of people interviewed, and I'll have to look up the actual study, but 80% of people interviewed said that the color of a company's logo influences their buying behavior, which I thought was insane.
It does sound insane.
But if you think about it, when you think of a company, when you think of, you know, their colors, you know, their logo, their brand, you associate the colors with it. It's just, I didn't realize it was that high, but it's proven that it works and that you need to pay attention to it.
Right. And I do know a little bit, I don't have it all memorized, but some of the psychology of color things, that plays right into that. You know, if you're going with a financial company, how many banks use green in their branding, in their marketing? There's a couple I could say right off the bat that don't. I know PNC is like orange and blue, and a couple of the newer online banks use orange a lot. But
for the most part, a lot of companies use it as a primary or secondary color for their financial. Or they use blue, which I remember reading sort of stands for like responsibility. A lot of insurance companies and companies that want to be taken seriously will use shades of blue in their marketing. So things like that that you don't really think about, you know, if you're making choices for a new branding project or for new campaign, for instance, with your company, Google or look up the psychology of colors. In fact, if you follow my Pinterest, I don't know why you would, but I think I even have an infographic on my Pinterest there that talks about the psychology of colors and what the logos say to customers just looking at the colors, just right off the bat. So definitely worth thinking of, and we too often don't think about it.
I was just going to say, another tip that I didn't want to forget today is just being aware of the colors and the design around you. So when you're waiting in the doctor's office and you're flipping through magazines, or when you're watching commercials on TV, or even reading content on the web, just kind of paying attention to what works and doesn't work, and what the different types of kind of behaviors, actions, and feelings you have, because, you know, if it's positive, if you really like it, you can always use bits and pieces of that. Like we had talked about the Pantone colors of the year, I think over the next year we'll probably see a lot of rose quartz and serenity and other additional colors from that color palette. But it's interesting to kind of keep it in the back of your head, because you can learn a lot from what other people are doing too.
One of the things that I had to do as a intro to design student was to look around in magazines, grab business cards, find inspiration in different designs, and basically create a design booklet on things that you found that you liked. And I find that I've been able to take that and apply it even now when I'm looking at, you know, what do I want to do for this next trade show, or what does this brochure need to look and feel like? And I'll go look for inspiration, and I think that's a really great way to go about finding what you want to do next, because you can also see what everybody else is doing, but then you can apply it and make it your own, and I think that's a great way to at least collect designs and start, like Kelly said, just noticing what's going on out there. And I think it's very beneficial. I think I've learned a ton just by doing those sorts of simple exercises and applying them on my own.
It's very true. Some of the best examples, not just of, like, I mentioned what the psychology of particular colors are, but some of the best examples include different verticals or different markets. I know for a while there we had a big focus on LEED and green technologies, and I noticed the companies that sort of specialized in those topics used a lot of green in their marketing materials, in their advertisements, or, you know, companies from like the Pacific Northwest, they tend to have very bucolic, scenic trees and greens and, you know, in their photos that they choose to use on their websites or in their marketing. Here in D.C., you're not going to see a whole lot of trees necessarily on your marketing materials unless you're, you know, doing something for the American Foresters Association or whatever. It's a very different vibe, and so you're exactly right. Check what's going on around you, not just competitors within your industry, but other companies within your region or within the vertical of the customer you're hoping to reach, and use tips from those examples to come up with your own design. I think that's a great, great tip, Rachel.
Well, not to steal anyone's ideas or plagiarize or anything, but check out what your competition is doing.
Right.
You don't want to do what they're doing. You want to make it a little bit different, but see what's out there so you can figure out, you know, who's doing what, how you can do yours differently, how you can, you know, make your brand stick out in an ad or in some type of collateral versus what they're doing. And, you know, go beyond your competitors. Go into your industry. You know, our AV industry, go beyond that, go into electronics, go into tech, go into you know, you name it, depending on what you're trying to do. And you can really get a lot, like you said, a lot of inspiration and a lot of ideas just looking at what's out there and other types of companies and what they're doing.
Of course, the key word is inspiration, because if you show up at InfoComm with a brand new booth and you're calling your company Schmestron and you have a bluish swirly thing, someone's going to get mad. So,
well, yeah.
Don't raise your eyes.
There's definitely a fine line when you're trying to mimic something that somebody else has already done.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying mimic it. I'm just saying.
No, no. Use it as inspiration.
Yes,
absolutely.
Steal everyone.
Yeah, great. Great tips so far, everybody. Wonderful discussion of color and design choices. I mean, we're running at about half an hour here, and it's the end of the year, and we're wonderfully grateful to have Rachel with us, because I'm a sort of self-taught on my own marketer type. And Kelly is actually, I believe, did marketing in school, but not necessarily graphic design or anything. So, Rachel, what do you, give us your best graphic designer tips of what do we need to know? What drives you nuts about marketers or bosses that we need to know that will help us do our jobs better?
Sure, sure. We had talked already about the white space and trying to keep things simple. Another thing that I think is really important is designing with a purpose. So making sure that it's still functional. Like, it might look really cool, but if it doesn't get your message across or doesn't go to the right audience, then what are you really doing with it? So the message shouldn't just be pretty, it shouldn't just be a very nice picture, but as long as it's conveying what you want it to say, then I think you really have a winning design.
It's a great tip. And something kind of timely here at AV Nation, I don't know if the guys will be mad at me for talking about this, but it's something that we recently are in the process of redesigning the avnation.tv website. And part of that came out of a meeting we had where we talked about, it's a great design, but if we're looking at it on mobile, it's not really functional, or it wasn't really functional, it's getting better. Mm-hmm. So things like that, functionality in both the intended audience and functionality in actually working in online ways are definitely things to keep in mind. What else you got for us, or if you've got any questions, Kelly? Go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, I was going to say another thing that I find really useful to, I think, anyone out there that's either learning to do some design or they get stuck doing it just because they're in the marketing team, you know, use those inspirations that I had already talked about, but then trying to figure out how to actually do that on the computer. And there's so many times that I don't even necessarily know how to do something that I want to do, but it's going on YouTube or searching in Google or, you know, just finding a tutorial or using, have you heard of lynda.com? It's an online design tool. But just going through the different tutorials and allowing yourself to continue to learn, it, at least for me, helps to keep me interested and learn new techniques and grow as a designer. And that's been a really huge benefit to having the World Wide Web out there at our fingertips and being able to search things and find exactly what you're looking for and giving them in a step-by-step manner where I can actually recreate what it is and use those techniques and come up with whatever it is that I'm trying to do. So keep learning.
That's a great point you just made there. I have two folks on my marketing team that do design here at AVI, and neither one of them had ever touched Adobe Creative Suite before they started here, but they got subscriptions to Lynda and YouTube, and now they're making templates for white papers, and they're making posters, and it's actually really cool, and they're super excited too, because now they, you know, they're adding skills and talent to their resumes and stuff. So yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
And as someone, again, sadly much further along in their career than either of you, It is a great tip. It's something that I still do. I will check out Lynda. It's been a long time since I've checked it out, and I'm sure it's even more improved now than the last time I looked at it. Also, all the tutorials online. And also, if you're using Photoshop for things and you want to make a cool effect, go check out some pre-made assets. There's companies called Envato, E-N-V-A-T-O, that has a lot of... you can get actions that'll create effects for you in Photoshop. You can get pre-created graphic art if you aren't fortunate enough to have a Rachel on staff and you just need a base something to modify and make your own. You can license very inexpensively the base whatever and then make it your own for a particular project. Graphic River is part of Envato. There's also a couple of others that their names elude me now, but there's a bunch of sites out there that provide free tutorials, inexpensively licensed artwork, actions, brushes, all sorts of assets that you can use, even templates for your websites and for your mobile sites, that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's okay to not know how to do every single thing. Go get one of these sort of pre-started projects and then make that your own. And you can do just as great or better things and not take nearly as long as starting with a blank screen and a paintbrush, so to speak.
That's a really good point, because I just feel, I know when I took some graphic design classes in college, you know, which was a long time ago. And they, you know, when you first start out in the field, it's very intimidating getting in front of software and having someone say, create an ad for me, or create this, or create that, and you're like, you know, like, it's, and not a lot, and you know, in a lot of cases, there aren't people there to help you because you're the marketing person within your company. So, right. I would agree with you. Thanks for pointing that out. I mean, and even like companies like iStock and Getty Images have illustrations, and they have photos and stuff that you can, you know, you can alter and make your own, and so you don't have to start from scratch. They have fun little cartoons and icons and tons of different things, so you don't have to recreate the wheel, which is really helpful.